pot from her purse and dabs her perfect lips with shiny gloss. I watch her, waiting for the rattler's tail to sting me. What favor?
I don't know yet.
Depends on what I'll need from you. Tell me your solution first. I expect her to say no, but she surprises me.
Sure.
She puts the lip gloss away.
You're a good dancer.
Layla Hansel sprained her ankle the other day, jumping with her little sister on a trampoline.
You can fill Layla's spot on the team.
Shit. That comes from Val. Shit indeed, it is the perfect solution. Steve wants me to do extracurricular stuff. Dancing is the only thing I'm capable of and somewhat interested in doing. The dance team's going to travel to this playoff game, which means I can be on the field, and sell Steve on the idea of spending time with Astor Park kids. It's diabolical how perfect this plan is. Jordan smirks.
Let me know your answer by the end of the day. You can text Val. Bye now.
She saunters out of the bathroom, her hair a dark ribbon streaming behind her. I hate her even more, I say to Val. I don't blame you. My friend drapes an arm around my shoulders. But damn, that's a good excuse. The best, I say despondently. The very best.
Chapter 19. Ella.
What are you doing here? I exclaim, when I find Reed leaning against my car after school. You're suspended. He rolls his eyes.
School's over. What are they going to do, suspend me again for standing in the parking lot?
Good point. I walk over and give him a hug, which he turns into a kiss that lasts long enough to leave me breathless. I'm smiling like a fool by the time he lets me go.
You look happy.
His eyes narrow suspiciously.
What's wrong?
I sputter in laughter. I'm not allowed to be happy. He flashes a grin.
Of course you are. It's just that the last time we talked, you were threatening to punch Steve in the face for all his crazy rules.
I think I found a way to get around the rules.
Yeah? How?
That's for me to know and for you to find out, I say mysteriously, because I want everything to be worked out before I tell him the news. I'm not entirely sure Steve is going to buy into this, so I don't want to get Reed's hopes up if I fail. Val and I are working on a secret project.
What kind?
I just told you, a secret one. Reed rests an elbow against the car hood.
Should I be worried?
I run a hand down his chest to rest on the top of his belt. Somehow Reed manages to make a pair of black cargo pants and a blue sweater look as hot as if he was shirtless. You should always be worried, I tease, giving his belt a tug. I'm tired of being stressed, scared, and unhappy all the time. I'm going to enjoy Reed and all my moments with him. Screw the rest of the world. He allows his body to press into mine until we're pancaked against the side of the car. His hand skims down my side until he reaches the top of my ass. My lips part, waiting for another kiss, the mingling of our breaths, the moment we shut out the entire world.
Look at them, someone says as they pass. Perfect trashy couple.
Reed's head flies up.
Got a problem with me, Fleming? Come say it to my face.
I see a short, dark-haired boy stiffen and then quickly walk away.
Yeah, I thought so,
Reed mutters.
Jerk,
I say angrily. Reed takes my chin between his fingers.
Don't worry about it, baby. Let them run their mouths. It can't hurt us.
He pinches me lightly before dropping a kiss on my lips. I'm tempted to linger, but if I do, I'll be late. I push him away regretfully. I've got to get back to the hotel. If I'm not there at 4 o'clock sharp, Steve might lock me in a dungeon. Reed snickers. Call me tonight?
Course.
He leans down to give me one final kiss, and by the way his hand digs into my butt,
I know it's going to be one of those long, dragging ones. Oh, gosh. I have to get out of his embrace before I turn into a puddle of mush. Okay, I'll text you later. He wanders off to where his rover is parked, and I wait until he's driving away before calling Val. I put the phone on speaker as I pull out of the parking lot. Tell me the downside of this deal, I say the moment she picks up. What kind of favors would Jordan ask of me? Like, I don't want to tape any girl up to the side of the school because she talked to Jordan's boyfriend. I've been thinking about this since lunch, Val answers. And? And I think just because she asks you to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. You owe her a favor, not a specific one. Good point. I press down on the gas, even though I hate driving fast. Well, I hate driving, period, but I especially hate driving fast. If I don't hurry, though, I'm going to be late. I like the way you're thinking. Let's say she asks you to do something you're not comfortable with. You just tell her to come back with something else. Right. So I'm going to keep my word, if I give it, but it's within the spirit of the agreement to exercise a veto over shitty acts. Right, she confirms. So you gonna do it? I think so. Jordan's proposal does solve all my problems. Steve wants me to be involved in activities, so I'll be less interested in spending time with the royals. I like dancing. The only downside is that I have to spend time with Jordan. This thing is only temporary until the other girl gets back, I say. So really, I'll just be an alternate. Do you want me to tell her yes? Val asks. Is she there with you right now? Blink twice if you're in danger. I tease, pulling into the hotel's parking garage. Val laughs. Nope, she's at practice. Actually, you'll appreciate this. Jordan scheduled all the dance team practices at the same time as the football team workouts. Even better, I grin to myself. Okay, tell her I'm in, with payment to be made later. Val chuckles again. Gotcha. I'll relay the message when she gets home. The elevators don't appreciate that I'm 5 minutes late and take forever to arrive and carry me up the 40-plus floors. However, when I walk in the door, 10 minutes after 4, Steve isn't even home. It's just Dinah. Well, look at you, she sneers from her perch on the leather sofa. You're surprisingly obedient, like a little dog that comes when you're called, sits when you're told, and stays when you're ordered to stay. In her hand is another stemmed glass, or maybe it's the same glass from this morning, and she's just been refilling it all day. I'm tempted to snark at her to get a job, but then I remind myself that she's just lost her best friend, and that Steve's brutal to her. Then again, he thinks she tried to kill him, which doesn't seem all that far-fetched, considering what a witch she is. I'm going to my room, I mutter as I walk past her. I have homework. Her taunting voice tickles my back. Your father brought you a gift, princess. It's lying on your bed. By the way she says that, I know I'm not going to like whatever Steve got me. Sure enough, when I dump out the contents of the shopping bag on the bed, I find 3 pairs of cotton khakis. Too bad there isn't a fireplace in this hotel suite. I hear there's an away game this weekend. Dinah drawls from the door. I look up to find her leaning against the frame. Her long legs are encased in a pair of loose-fitting pants, and she has a sheer floral top on. It's kind of a dressy look for hanging around the suite, and I wonder who she's been visiting. How do you know that? Are you blackmailing some poor high school student, too? She smirks. Is that why you think Gideon's in my bed? Darling, you are delightfully naive. Have you ever heard of a royal doing anything he doesn't want to do? She drags her hand down her body to settle at her waist, emphasizing the tininess of it. Gideon can't get enough of me. I hold back a barf. I know you're blackmailing him, I reply coldly. Is that the excuse he uses? She juts her delicate chin forward. He sleeps with me because he wants to, because he can't stay away. Ugh, I don't need to hear another word of this.
Why are you still married to Steve then? It's obvious you guys don't love each other. I sweep the pants back into the bag and set it onto the floor. Oh my goodness, is that why you think people get married? Because they love each other? She starts to laugh. I'm here for Steve's money, and he knows it. Which is why he treats me like shit. But don't worry, he pays for each word he says to me. She waves a hand over her outfit. Like this? It cost him $3,000. And every day that he's an asshole to me, I'll spend a little more. And while I'm with him, I'm fantasizing about Gideon. That's beyond gross. I walk to the door, pushing her out. Dinah's my favorite for the killer, mostly because I can't stand her. Finding evidence against her is the problem. I'm going to study now. I slam the door in her face and pull out a sheet of paper that I title Dinah. Underneath, I write means, motive, and opportunity. Then I stare at it for an hour without writing another frickin' letter. I'm still hiding in my room, doodling all over the Dinah page while Orange Is the New Black plays on my laptop, when Steve knocks on my door.
You decent? He says.
I shove the paper under my laptop and hop to my feet. Yeah. How was school? He asks, poking his head inside. Good. How was work? I grab a sweatshirt from the chair near the window and slip it on. Steve eyes the top with a smidge of unhappiness, guessing from the size that it's not mine, but reads.
It was good. The R&D team is getting close to having a prototype finished of a hypersonic delivery vehicle.
I raise one eyebrow.
That sounds dangerous.
He shrugs. It's primarily a research vehicle, and would be flown remotely as a UAV. At my blank look, he expands. Unmanned aerial vehicle.
A drone?
He bobs his head in a considering motion.
I suppose, but not exactly. Similar concept, although ours is much more sophisticated. Essentially, the UAV is launched like a rocket into the upper atmosphere. It's definitely not as fun as flying an aircraft, but unfortunately, most military aircraft is heavily focused in the unmanned area.
He sounds disappointed, which reminds me of how Callum told me that Steve enjoyed testing the machines out rather than designing, building, and selling them.
Seems safer that way, I say lightly.
Probably is. A rueful smile tilts up one side of his mouth.
I get bored easily. Callum kicked me out of the meeting because I kept launching paper airplanes around the room.
He's bored, huh? Is that why he's so intense on this parenting thing? It's new, and he's trying to find something that interests him?
I think that's what the girls were trying to tell me earlier, so maybe they're right about everything else. I just need to learn to manage him. Once I'm 18, I'll be back in control for good.
I thought about what you said this morning. I inform him.
Oh?
He leans against the desk, his fingers brushing the side of my laptop. I can see the D of Dinah poking out. Nervously, I slide toward the desk.
Yes, I'm going to join the dance team. It's supposed to be really good. I'm not even lying. According to the banners outside the gym, Astor Park has won the state dance competition for the last 8 years, except for one time. I wonder what the story is behind that.
Steve straightens, a pleased look on his face.
That's excellent.
He crosses the distance between us and pulls my stiff body against his in a hug. High school and college are all about experiences, and I don't want you to miss out on any of them. I let him hug me for another second, even though this type of contact makes me uncomfortable. The only attention I've ever gotten from men Steve's age hasn't been good. Stepping back, I walk into the living room and away from the blank list of investigative notes. From the table, I pick up the room service menu. In the short time I've been here, I'm getting tired of room service.
When do you think we'll be back in the penthouse?
I ask Steve. If there's any evidence that could clear Reed, it's going to be there.
Why? Are you getting stir-crazy?
At the wet bar, he mixes himself a drink.
I spoke with the detective today. We should be allowed back by the end of the week.
I pretend to study the menu more carefully. How's the investigation going?
Reed and Callum are so tight-lipped about everything, so I'm dying for more details. Really, I just want someone to tell me the cops have nothing, and that the case will be dropped any day now.
Nothing for you to be concerned about.
Did Brooks, autopsy results come back?
Not yet.
Steve's back is to me, but I don't need to see his face to know he's not interested in talking about this subject.
Tell me about this dance team.
Well, it costs some money because I'll need to buy a uniform. I actually have no idea what the details are. I'm winging it here. And we travel.
That's no problem.
It means staying at hotels with only the dance coach as a chaperone.
I point out.
He waves his hand.
I trust you.
Now's the perfect time to tell him the rest. If I wait, that trust will erode. If there's actually any trust there, he could be lying. Then again, what I'm planning to do is definitely against his rules, so he'd be right not to trust me. But it's Reed, and I want to be with him. I'm afraid he's going to prison, and I need to get all the time I can in with him right now. I shove those despairing thoughts into the back of my head, muster up a bright smile, and dive in. In the interest of full disclosure and all, the dance team travels with the football team. The drink in his hand halts halfway to his mouth.
Is that right?
He drawls, and I feel like he can see through my entire charade. Yeah, I know that puts me near Reed, which you don't want. I feel myself blushing because this is totally TMI for a dad. But that thing you're worried about? I haven't done anything. With anybody. Steve sets down his glass.
Are you serious?
I nod, wishing this awkward discussion was over already. I might wear a skirt to school. I offer a wry smile. But I'm not easy. I guess because of my mom, I haven't had any desire to go down that route.
Well.
He seems at a loss for words.
Well,
he repeats and then half chuckles to himself.
I really stuck my foot in my mouth the other morning, didn't I? I think I let Dinah rile me up with all those comments about your skirt.
I force myself not to shift uncomfortably because while I haven't lost my virginity yet, I've still done a lot, and I have big plans for this weekend.
I really misjudged you, Steve says ruefully. I'm sorry about that. I'm messing up all over the place. I read this book on parenting, and it said that I should listen more. I'm going to do that, he declares, lobbing another promise out there like his paper airplanes.
So, it's okay that we travel with the team? I mean, it's not like we spend a lot of time with the players, and we drive up in different buses.
It should be fine.
I give an internal fist pump. Now it's time to go in for the kill. Also, I was talking to some of the girls, and they said that everyone's staying overnight at a hotel so we can go to this amusement park the next day. I fake a grimace. It sounds totally juvenile, but apparently it's supposed to be some kind of team-building thing. I convinced Val to come up and keep me company. His eyes narrow.
Will the football players be going, too?
No, they're all riding back on the bus to Bayview on Friday night. Except half the starters, including Reed and Easton, but I don't mention that. I've told most of the truth. That counts, right?
All right. Steve nods. I'm okay with that.
He holds up a finger.
Hold on. I'll be right back. I got you a few things.
Apprehension builds inside me as I watch Steve jog up the stairs. Oh, God. What did he get me now? I hear a drawer opening and closing, and then he reappears a minute later, with a small leather case in his hand.
A couple things, he tells me.
First, Callum said he hadn't gotten you a credit card yet, so I took care of it. He holds out a black card. I warily accept it. The card is shiny and heavy. For a second, I'm excited to have it. Until I see the name embossed on it with gold lettering. Ella O'Halloran. Steve notices my frown, but answers it with a broad smile.
I've already secured the paperwork to legally change your surname. I figured you wouldn't mind.
My jaw drops.
Is he serious? I flat out told him I wanted to keep my mom's last name. I'm Ella Harper, not O'Halloran. Before I can object, he turns toward the stairs.
Dinah, get down here, he orders. I have something for you.
Dinah appears, her shrewd eyes focused on Steve.
What is it?
He beckons her.
Come down.
The snake inside her looks ready to pounce, but she obviously manages to restrain it, because she descends the stairs and walks stiffly to Steve. He holds out another credit card. This one is silver, rather than black.
What's this?
She stares at it, as if it might explode in her hand if she tries to touch it. Steve smiles, but it's cold and mean.
I was going over your recent credit card statements, and they seemed exorbitantly high, so I canceled those cards. This is the one you'll use from now.
Fire flashes in her eyes.
But this is a basic card.
Yes, he agrees. The limit is 5,000. That should be more than enough for you.
Her mouth opens and closes and opens and closes. This goes on for a while. I hold my breath as I examine her face, waiting for her to lose it.
$5,000 might be a fortune for me, but I know it's peanuts for Dinah. There's no way she's going to take this well.
Except, she does. You're right. That seems like more than enough, she answers in a sweet voice. But when Steve bends his head to take something else out of his leather case, Dinah gives me a look so icy and scathing that I find myself shivering. When her gaze lowers to the black card I'm holding, I'm afraid she might actually hit me.
The last item of business, Steve announces, handing me a sheet of paper.
I glance at it and see a printout of airline tickets. What's this?
Tickets to London, he says happily. We're going there over the holidays.
I wrinkle my brow.
We are?
He picks up his drink.
Yes. We'll stay at the Waldorf, visit a few castles. You should make a list of the things you want to see, he encourages.
All of us are going? Reed never said a word to me about the royals going to London for Christmas. Maybe he doesn't know.
Nope, just us. If you're calling in dinner, I'd like the salmon.
He tips his head toward the menu I'd left on one of the end tables. London is so lovely in the winter, Dinah remarks, her demeanor brightening. She mockingly waves her silver card in the air.
I guess I'll have an opportunity to put this to use. Actually, you're staying behind.
Steve is darn near smirking. He's clearly enjoying tormenting her. It'll just be Ella and me, a father-daughter bonding trip, if you will. I frown deeply. What about the royals?
What about them?
Are they going too? I give him back the printout. He tucks the paper in the leather case and tosses it onto the sideboard.
I have no idea what they're doing for the holidays, but Reed can't leave the country, remember? He had to surrender his passport to the DA's office.
I can't keep the dismay off my face. It's true. Reed can't leave town. But I can't believe Steve's planning on taking me out of town for the holidays. I'm going to miss my first Christmas with Reed. That's so unfair. Steve reaches out and dabs his knuckle under my chin.
It'll only be for a week. He arches a brow. Besides, after seeing Reed in all those games, he'll probably need a break, don't you think? I can even manage it that we go for longer.
The message is clear. If I don't go to London with him, I don't get to travel with the dance team. Like the deal I struck with Jordan, it's imperfect, but I force myself to smile and nod, because in the end, I'm still getting what I want. No, a week is great, I say with forced cheeriness. I'm excited. I've never been out of the country before. Steve breaks out into a giant smile.
You'll love it.
Dinah, meanwhile, is glaring at me with the heat of a million suns. Darling, go upstairs and change for dinner, Steve tells his fuming wife. I'll order you a salad. As she storms off, I call in the order, and then listen to Steve babble while we wait for dinner. After it's over, I escape to my room and text Reed immediately.
I'm allowed to go to the game. Be prepared. Bring a big box of condoms and eat a few energy bars. You're going to need it.
For the game?
The game is easy peasy compared to the workout I'm putting you through after.
Do you want me to walk around with a permanent hard-on?
Yep.
We're supposed to be waiting.
I'm done waiting. Get ready. I punctuate that with a smiley face, and then put the phone away and do some homework. Chapter 20. Ella.
Say what you will about Jordan, but the girl has a serious work ethic. For the rest of the week, I'm forced to endure twice-a-day dance practices, one in the morning and one after school. And although we're practicing on the same field and in the same gym as the football team, I don't have time to even look at Reed, let alone talk to him. To make matters worse, I only have 3 days to learn the routines that these girls have been performing for months. Jordan pushes me so hard that my limbs feel like jelly by the time I get home every night. Reed makes fun of me because every time we talk on the phone, I'm icing a different part of my body. Steve thinks it's great, though. He keeps telling me how proud he is to see me throwing myself into this extracurricular stuff. If he knew the real reason I was working so hard, he'd probably have a heart attack. On Friday morning, we have our last official practice before tonight's game. One of the girls, Haley, pulls me aside when we're done and whispers, "You're such an amazing dancer. I hope you stay on the team after Layla gets better." The compliment makes me blush with pride, on the inside. On the surface, I answer with a careless shrug, "I doubt it. I don't think Jordan can stand to be around me any more than absolutely necessary." "Well, Jordan's an idiot," Haley murmurs with a grin. I try to stifle a snort, but it ends up popping out anyway. The sound draws frowns from Rachel Cohen and Shay Montgomery, Savannah's older sister. "What are you two whispering about?" Shay asks suspiciously. Haley just smiles and says, "Nothing."
"Okay, I like this girl. She's not Val, but she's cooler than I thought. So are most of the other girls.
These past 3 days, I've learned that Jordan's mean girl control only really applies to Shay, Rachel, and Abby, Reed's ex-girlfriend. Abby's not on the team, thankfully, but she comes by to watch the practices sometimes, which is super uncomfortable. I don't like Abby, and not just because she's Reed's ex. The girl is too passive. She walks around like the eternal victim, wearing this sad, doe-eyed look and talking in a soft whisper. Sometimes I think it's all an act, and that deep down, she's got claws to rival Jordan's. In the center of the blue mat strewn on the floor, Jordan claps her hands, the loud sound bouncing off the gym walls.
"The bus leaves at 5, she announces. "If you're late, we leave without you."
She gives me a pointed look. Ha, like I'm going to be late. I plan on being there early, just to make sure the bus doesn't zoom away without me on it. I'm kind of worried that this sudden show of niceness on Jordan's part isn't real, that she doesn't want a favor from me at all, and is planning some horrible humiliation for tonight. I'm going to take my chances, though. With the way Steve is constantly keeping tabs on me, this is my only opportunity to be alone with Reed.
"I'll see you later,"
Haley tells me as we walk out of the girls' locker room 10 minutes later. I wave goodbye and head outside to the parking lot, where Reed is waiting beside my car. His SUV is parked in the next space. I wish I was still living with the Royals and we were driving home together, but I'll take whatever stolen moments with him that I can get. He pulls me into his arms the moment I approach.
"You looked so hot out there," he rasps in my ear. "I love those little dance shorts."
A shiver shimmies up my spine. "You looked hot, too."
"Liar. You didn't even look my way once. Jordan was standing over you like a drill sergeant.
I was looking at you in spirit, I answer solemnly.
He snickers, then bends down to kiss me. I still can't believe Steve is letting you stay overnight.
Me neither, I admit. A pang of worry hits me. What did you tell Callum about where you're staying tonight? He doesn't suspect you'll be at the hotel, right?
If he does, he hasn't said anything. Reed shrugs. I told him East and I are crashing at Wade's, that we don't want to drive home drunk because we'll probably be pounding booze at the after party.
I frown. He's actually cool with you going out drinking? After that whole speech about keeping your nose clean? Another shrug.
As long as I'm not fighting, I don't think he cares what I do. Look, about the sex thing.
I give him an irritated look. You said you were waiting until I was ready. Well, I'm ready. The only way we're not having sex is if you don't want it.
He returns my irritated stare with a frustrated one. You know I'm dying for it.
Great. We're on the same page. I push up on my tiptoes and give him a cheery kiss. Reed's arm tightens around me, and then I feel the tension leave him in a rush. He's on board. Oh, thank God. I was expecting him to put up more of a fight, try to be all honorable again. My fake cheeriness morphs into real delight. I've gotta go. Steve wants us to have an early dinner before the bus leaves. Reed smacks my butt as I walk around the side of the car.
I'll see you later, he calls out.
I turn to smile at him. You know it. The football game is in a town called Gibson, a 2-hour drive from Bayview. I was really hoping I'd get to drive up with Val, but as Jordan not so nicely told me, the dance team travels together, no exceptions. So Val's driving my car while I bus it with the team. But even though I was dreading being stuck on a bus for 2 hours with Jordan and her cronies, the ride ends up being surprisingly fun. I still can't believe you were actually a stripper, Haley says from the window seat. She insisted that we sit together, and I didn't put up much of a fight. I can't imagine taking off all my clothes in front of strangers. I'm too shy. My cheeks grow hot. I didn't take it all off. The club where I worked wasn't a full nudity place, just a G-string and pasties. Still, I'd be way too self-conscious. Was it fun? Not at all. It wasn't terrible. The money was decent, and the tips were great. Jordan makes a derisive sound from across the aisle. Yeah, I'm sure all those dollar bills stuffed down your panties added up to what, 20 whole dollars? I bristle. $20 is a lot of money when you're working to support yourself. I shoot back. She bats her eyelashes. Well, at least these days you're rolling in the dough. I bet Reed pays as high as 100 for your services. I flip up my middle finger but don't bother with a retort. I'm not going to let this catty girl ruin my good mood. I'm finally out from under Steve's watchful eye and about to spend the night with my boyfriend. Jordan can suck it. To my disbelief, some other girls stick up for me. Ha, Reed doesn't pay her a dime. The brunette, I think her name is Madeline, says from the seat behind me. That boy is freaking in love with a capital L-O-V-E. You should see the way he stares at Ella during lunch. I blush again. I thought I was the only one who noticed that Reed's intense gaze is always on me. How sweet, Jordan says dryly. The killer and the stripper love each other. It's like a lifetime movie. Reed didn't kill anyone. Another girl pipes up, her tone as dry as Jordan's. We all know that. My head swivels toward her in shock. Does she seriously believe that, or is she being sarcastic? Yeah. Someone else agrees. He probably didn't. And even if he did, the first one says, waggling her eyebrows, who the fuck cares, bad boys are hot. Killers are killers. Jordan sneers, but I notice that some of the venom has left her voice. Her expression is almost thoughtful. Fortunately, the conversation ends because we arrive at our destination.
The bus pulls into the parking lot behind Gibson High School, and we all climb off with our gym bags. I'm the only one who's also carrying an overnight bag. I squeal when I notice a familiar car parked across the lot.
"You beat us!"
I yell to Val, who hops off the hood and meets me halfway. She throws her arms around me in a hug.
"Your car is built for speed, babe. I had so much fun letting it loose on the highway. Do you have time to pop over to the hotel before warm-ups? I want to give you something."
"Hold on. Let me ask Satan." Val snickers as I hurry over to the crowd of girls and tap Jordan on the shoulder. Technically, Coach Kelly is the one in charge of the team, but I learned pretty quickly that it's on paper only. Jordan calls all the shots here. She turns around with an annoyed look.
"What?"
she snaps.
"When do we warm up?" I ask.
"Val and I are staying in town overnight, and we just wanted to drop off our stuff at the hotel." Jordan makes a big show of checking the time on her phone, but then she heaves a sigh.
"Fine, but be back by 7:30. The game starts at 8.
"Yes, sir." I give her a mock salute and dart back to Val.
It only takes 3 minutes to drive from the high school to the hotel.
It's a sprawling 3-story building with tiny patios on the ground floor rooms and balconies on the upper floors. It looks clean, and Val and I researched it online and determined that the area is completely safe. We check in at the front desk and then climb the stairs to our 3rd-floor room and deposit our bags on the beige carpet. I take out my phone and find a text from Reed saying the football team arrived an hour ago and is warming up soon.
"I should head back," I say regretfully, watching as Val plops down on one of the double beds.
"Not yet. First, you have to open this."
She unzips her backpack and removes a striped pink bag with the words Victoria's Secret emblazoned on the front.
A groan slips out.
"What did you do?" I accuse.
She smiles broadly.
"What any good wingman does. I'm making sure my friend gets laid tonight."
Curiosity has me reaching for the gift bag. I sift through the pink tissue paper and find a matching bra and panty set in my size, though I have no clue how Val knows my exact cup size. The demi bra is ivory-colored, with thin straps, pretty scalloped lace, and hardly any padding. The underwear matches it. A teeny scrap of ivory lace that makes me blush.
"Oh my God, when did you get this?"
"After school today. I got my aunt to drop me off at the mall." The thought of Mrs. Carrington accompanying Val to purchase lingerie for me makes my face go pale. Val is quick to assure me,
"Don't worry, she dropped me off and left. I took an Uber home."
She beams at me.
"Do you like?"
"I love," I confess, running my fingers over the lacy edge of the bra. My throat tightens suddenly. I've never had a real friend before, and now it seems like I won the friend lottery.
"Thank you."
"Thank me later," she says with a grin. "Reed is going to lose his mind when he sees you in that." My cheeks heat up again.
"By the way, I expect details. It's in the best friend code."
"I'll think about it." I roll my eyes and tuck the naughty items back in the bag.
"But it works both ways, you know. I expect details, too."
"Details about what?"
"You and Wade."
Her smile fades.
"There is no me and Wade."
"Yeah." I raise one eyebrow.
"Then why did you drive 3 hours to watch him play football?"
She huffs in outrage.
"I didn't come here for him. I came for you."
"Uh-huh. Even though I'm not even going to see you tonight because I'll be with Reed."
Val scowls. "Someone needs to have your back at the game. What if Jordan tries something?"
My lips twitch. "We both know I can handle Jordan, so why don't you just admit it? You came for Wade."
"It's the first matchup of the playoffs and it's an away game," she grumbles. "Astor Park needs all the support it can get."
I burst out laughing.
"Oh, now you have school spirit? God, Val, you're such a terrible liar."
She flips me the bird.
"You know what? I don't like you right now."
But she's laughing as she says it.
"That's okay," I answer sweetly. You can fill your liking quota with Wade, because, we both know you do.
That gets me a pillow to the head. I catch it easily, then toss it back to Val.
I'm just teasing you, I assure her. If you like Wade, great. If you don't, also great. I support you in everything you do.
Her tone softens, and there's a crack in her voice as she says, "Thank you."
Chapter 21. Ella.
Even as I warm up with the other girls, I'm still expecting some sort of ambush. My wary gaze darts toward Jordan after each stretch and exercise I complete, but she seems focused on her own stretches. Maybe this is legit? I mean, I practiced with these girls all week, and I didn't get so much as a hint that they might be up to something. I'm praying that nobody is going to throw a bucket of pig's blood on me when I'm in the middle of a tumbling routine. As Haley and I head for the bench to rehydrate, she leans in closer and whispers, "There are like 100 girls staring at you right now." I frown and follow her gaze. Sure enough, there are a lot of female eyes on me. Male ones, too, because of the booty shorts and crop top I'm wearing. But the girls aren't checking me out. They're all looking at me in envy? It doesn't make sense to me at first, but when I pass a group of jersey-wearing girls in the front row, the pieces suddenly slide together.
"That's his girlfriend,"
one hisses loud enough for me to overhear.
"She's so pretty,"
her friend whispers back, sounding sincere rather than catty.
"She's lucky, more like it," the first one responds. "I'd die to go out with Reed Royal."
This is about Reed? Wow. I guess that girl on the bus was right. Bad boys do have major appeal. I glance at the away bench, where Reed is sitting with Easton, then at the stands, and realize that a ton of girls are looking covetously at Reed. Jordan sidles up to me.
"Quit eye-fucking your boyfriend," she mutters. "We're going on soon."
I glance over at her. I'm pretty sure every chick in the stadium is doing the same thing. I guess it's every girl's fantasy to hook up with a murder suspect. My nemesis snorts in amusement, then slaps a hand over her mouth, as if she realizes what she'd done. I'm kind of surprised, too, since Jordan and I aren't exactly joking around friends. Or friends, period. The non-toxic exchange must have freaked Jordan out, because she suddenly snarls at me.
"Your shorts are riding up. I can see half your ass. Fix yourself up, will you?"
I fight a grin as she stalks off, because we both know the industrial double-stick tape on my ass means my shorts haven't moved an inch. Maybe I've been going about this the wrong way. Instead of shouting insults and antagonizing Jordan, maybe I should be extra sweet and friendly. That would drive her insane. I turn toward the bleachers again in search of Val. When I spot her a few rows behind the away bench, I give her a happy wave. She waves back and then shouts, "Break a leg!" Grinning, I rejoin the team and bounce up and down on my heels a little, mentally preparing myself for the routine. I think I have it down pat. But hopefully I don't forget all the moves once the spotlight is on me. Since it's the first playoffs game, the pre-show is ridiculously extravagant. There's a drumline routine, punctuated by fire shooting out of big pillars on either side of the field, and a short display of fireworks. The Gibson High cheerleaders put on a routine that involves a lot of butt-shaking and hip-swaying, causing all the guys in the stands to jump to their feet and whistle and catcall. Then it's our turn. The girls and I run onto the field. I catch Reed's eye as I get in position next to Haley. He gives me a thumbs up, which I return with a huge grin. The music starts, and we're off. All my nerves disappear the moment the beat injects into my bloodstream. I nail every spin and turn. I kill it on the short tumbling routine that I do side by side with Haley. Adrenaline sizzles inside me, my heart racing in excitement, as the fast-paced dance routine draws deafening cheers from the crowd.
The team moves in perfect precision, and when we finally wrap up, we get a standing ovation. Now I get why Astor Park has won all those national championships. These girls are talented. And although this started off as just a way for me to attend this game, I can't lie. I'm kind of proud to have been a part of this performance. Even Jordan is in an ecstatic mood. Her cheeks glow as she hugs and high-fives her teammates, including me. Yep, she actually gives me a high-five, and it's genuine. I guess hell must have frozen over. Any thoughts of murder and verdicts and prison are relegated to the very back of my head. No one else seems to be bothered by it either. After we clear the field, there's some discussion with the refs and the coaches, a coin toss, and then the game gets underway. The Riders' offense is up first, and my eyes follow Wade as he jogs onto the field. He's a tall guy, but for some reason he looks even bigger in his uniform and with his helmet on. On the first play, Wade throws a short pass to a receiver with the name Blackwood on his jersey. Blackwood catches the ball, but then there's a long, boring halt as the refs try to decide if he gained enough yards for a new set of downs. Haley helped me with some of the lingo on the bus ride up here when she found out how little I knew about the game. A little man darts out and measures the distance from the ball to the line, then holds up his hands and makes a signal I don't understand. Haley and I didn't cover hand signals. The Astor Park fans cheer in approval. Me, I'm just bored from how long it took to decide if our guys got a few measly yards. I search the sidelines until I spot Reed. At least I think it's Reed. There are two players with Royal stitched on their jerseys, and they're standing side by side. So for all I know, I'm ogling Easton's butt and not Reed's. He shifts his head, and I see his profile. Yep, it's Reed. He's chewing on his mouth guard. And then, as if he senses me watching him, he sharply turns his head. The mouth guard pops out, and he grins at me. It's a wicked, private smile, reserved just for me. The excitement vibrating in the stadium only gets more intense when Gibson ends up tying the score right before halftime. In retaliation, Reed and Easton tackle the Gibson quarterback the next time he's on the field, and the guy fumbles the football. Someone else on the Astor defense scoops it up and runs it in for a touchdown. The Astor Park fans are freaking out. The home fans are booing loud enough to rock the bleachers. Some of the Gibson kids start chanting, "Killer! Killer!" but are quickly shut down by some administrators. The verbal attacks only seem to fire up the Astor Park team even more. In the end, the Riders win the game, which means they're moving on to the next round of the playoffs. I grin as I watch Coach Lewis slap his players on their asses after the win. Football is so freaking weird. The teams form two lines and exchange handshakes. A few of the opposing players don't shake Reed's hand. For a moment, I wonder if there's going to be a fight, but Reed doesn't seem to care. The moment they're done, Easton races toward me. He plucks me right off my feet, then carries me down to the field and whirls me around. "Did you see that sack in the second?" he exclaims. I strain my head toward Val, who's hurrying down the steps toward us. "Wait for Val," I grumble at him, but he carts me down the sidelines and doesn't release me until we reach the entrance of the tunnel that leads to the locker rooms. Reed is there, helmet in hand, sweaty hair matted to his head.
"Enjoy the game?" he asks before bending his head and kissing me.
A laughing Val finally catches up to us, and she and Easton start making gagging noises as Reed's kiss drags on and on. "Come on, guys, we're standing right here," Val announces. "Royal, stop mouth-mauling my best friend so we can walk back to the hotel already."
I break away from the kiss.
"You didn't drive?" I ask her.
She shakes her head.
"It was a 10-minute walk. I figured there wouldn't be any closer parking spots anyway."
Reed gives me a stern look.
"I don't want you two walking back to the hotel alone. Wait for us outside the stadium, and we'll all walk back together."
I respond with a brisk salute,
"Yes, sir."
His mouth finds mine again. This time, there's something different about his kiss. It's rippling with promise. When he pulls back, I see a familiar gleam in his blue eyes. We're away from the royal mansion. There's no risk of Callum, or Steve, or anyone else interrupting us. Whatever reservations Reed had about saving himself until after the investigation is over, we're left behind in Bayview. There's only one reason I'd join Jordan's dance squad, and it's not to cuddle. We both know what's going to happen tonight. Reed and I walk back to the hotel with Easton, Valerie, and Wade. Needless to say, Val is not happy about this latest development. The moment we reach the parking lot, she plants her feet and crosses her arms. Why is he here? Her accusatory gaze is laser-pointed at me. You said it was just Reed and Easton. I hold up my hands in defense. I didn't know. Wade looks uncharacteristically wounded. I always thought nothing fazed this guy, but Val's obvious unhappiness about his presence brings a sad look to his face.
Come on, Val, he says hoarsely. Don't be like that.
She bites her lip.
Please, he adds. Can't we just go somewhere and talk?
You're staying with us anyway, Easton pipes up. So you guys might as well call a truce before the slumber party begins.
I turn to Val in surprise. You're not rooming with me? A flicker of humor shines through her cloudy expression. Didn't I tell you? Reed and I reached an agreement. I agreed to bunk with Easton. I glance from Reed to Val in suspicion. When did they decide that? Val's humor fades and the clouds take over again. But I didn't agree to bunk with him. Wade looks hurt again.
Val. Wade, she mimics.
Easton heaves a huge sigh.
Okay, I'm tired of this lover's quarrel. I'm going to hit the hotel bar while you two figure this shit out.
He grins at Val.
And if you figure out that you guys want to be alone tonight, text me and I'll get my own room.
With that, he saunters inside, leaving the four of us in the parking lot.
Val,
I prompt. She hesitates for a long, long time. Then she groans.
Oh, fine. I'll talk to him.
She says it to me rather than Wade, whose whole face lights up at her words. I need to come up and grab my bag, though. We climb up to the third floor, where I swipe the key card to open the door. As Val ducks inside to get her backpack, Reed and I linger in the doorway with Wade, who decides to offer me his unsolicited advice.
Make sure my man doesn't skimp on the foreplay. That's important. Warms that virginal body of yours right up.
I whirl toward Reed. You told him I was a virgin? Wade answers for him.
Nah, East did.
Frickin' Easton, that boy can never keep his mouth shut.
Also, Wade adds solemnly, don't freak if you don't have an orgasm the first time. You're gonna be all tense and nervous. Besides, Reed won't last more than 20 seconds.
Wade,
Reed says in exasperation. Leave them alone, Val snaps, slinging her backpack over her shoulder. You should be worrying about your own technique. From what I saw in that supply closet at school, you need a lot of work. He slaps a hand to his heart as if she shot an arrow into it.
How dare you, Carrington? I'm a modern-day Romeo.
Romeo dies, she says tersely. I fight a smile as the two of them disappear back toward the stairwell. Wade has his work cut out for him, that's for sure. Val is clearly not going to make this easy for him. Reed and I exchange a grin and enter the hotel room, where he sits on the bed and gestures for me to join him. Nerves flutter in my tummy. I swallow hard and then clear my throat. Give me a second. I dash into the bathroom before he can answer. The moment I'm alone, I stare at my reflection in the mirror, noting the deep blush on my cheeks. I feel stupid. I mean, Reed and I have fooled around before. I shouldn't be nervous.
but I am. Breathing deeply, I reach for the gift bag I stashed under the sink and spend an excessive amount of time getting ready. Smoothing out my hair, fixing the bra straps so they're not crooked but perfectly parallel. I glance in the mirror again, and can't deny I look hot. Reed agrees, because the second I step out of the bathroom, he groans, "Holy fuck, baby." "Thought I'd change into something a little less comfortable," I say in a wry voice. He wheezes out a laugh. He took off his shirt when I was in the bathroom, and now he rises to his feet, bare-chested and utterly gorgeous. "You like?" I ask shyly.
"I'm more than like."
He advances on me like a hungry animal, blue eyes raking over my body until every inch of me feels hot and achy. He comes closer, and he's so much taller than me, so much bigger. Strong arms pull me in, his lips find my neck, and he kisses me there.
"FYI," he murmurs against my heated flesh. "You don't need to dress up for me. You're beautiful no matter what you wear."
He lifts his head and gives me a wicked smile.
"You're even more beautiful when you're wearing nothing at all."
"Don't ruin this," I scold. "I'm too nervous. I need to feel pretty."
"You are pretty, and there's no reason to be nervous. We don't have to do anything you don't want to."
"Are you backing out?"
"No way."
He drags his hand down my side to settle at my waist.
"Nothing or no one could drag me away at this point."
I want this so badly I can barely breathe. I never gave much thought to my first time. I never fantasized about rose petals and candles. I never even thought it would be with someone I loved, if I'm being honest.
"Good, because I don't want to wait another minute," I tell him.
"Lie down."
His voice is husky as he nudges me toward the bed. Without a word, I stretch out on my back with my head on the pillows. He stands at the edge of the mattress. Then he takes off his pants. My lungs stop working. As Reed crawls up beside me, he brings his mouth to mine, kissing me softly at first, then with more urgency as I part my lips for him. The hard length of him presses against my thigh, and the drumbeat of desire that played in the background all week as I thought about this night thuds loudly in my head. His tongue traces my lips, his mouth whispers a path across my cheek. His hands roam my body, mapping the valleys and the rises with equal interest. A thumb across my nipple sends shudders from the tip to my core. A kiss behind my ear makes my whole body quiver in delight. We make out for what seems like hours, until we're both breathless and painfully turned on. Reed's lips release mine abruptly.
"I love you," he mumbles.
"I love you too." I press my mouth to his again, and we stop talking. My heart is pounding. So is his. And his hands tremble as they begin a slow descent. To my frustration, he won't let me touch him. Every time I reach for him, he swats my hands away.
"It's all about you," he whispers, after my third grabbing attempt. "Close your eyes and enjoy it, damn it."
And gosh, I do. I enjoy every torturous second of it. It's not long before my brand new underwear is cast aside. I can't focus on anything but the incredible sensations he's eliciting. He's touched me before here, in the same intimate ways, but it's different tonight. It's the start of something, rather than the end. Every caress of his hand, every press of his lips against my skin, is a promise of more to come. And I can't wait. Two calloused fingers slide down my stomach until he's there, inside me, and I moan as the pleasure explodes in a blinding rush. The sensations shake me from the inside out. His mouth meets mine, swallowing my whimpers, stroking me to completion. My hips arch to meet his fingers, and he rides the wave with me, as I shudder against the mattress. He doesn't even give me time to recover. I'm still shaking wildly,